Our next guest, absolutely a familiar voice in these parts, many years, part of broadcasts we've heard for Oregon, UCLA, other conference programs, now in his second season as the voice of the Cougars. Follow all he's up to on Twitter. Use the handle at @M_Chaz, Chaz. We welcome in Matt Chazanow. Matt, appreciate the time. How have you been?
I've been great. Thanks for having me on. I've been really great with the way the Cougars have been playing basketball the last couple games.
Now, you spent the better part of a decade on the other coast. I saw when you first landed the gig, and the website was all cooged up, an interview with you. I'm somebody who moved from the Northeast to here, and it could be a little bit of a culture shock. So now I guess it's been about a year and a half. What could you tell us about living in a Pac-12 town like Pullman?
I'm impressed. Steve, I'm impressed by the research. It's great. It's great. I love it out here. You know, just like you, I'm from New Jersey, lived in North Carolina for about 10 years, and it's been fantastic out here. My fiance is out here, and we're getting married this summer, and honestly, it's great people and great college town. I love the people I work with. It's been fantastic. Great football season, of course, too. That always helps.
Where in Jersey? I can't let that slide.
Well, let's do this. Let's break it down. Westfield, New Jersey, Union County, dead west of Manhattan by about 18 miles.
Right. Route 22, right around there. Makes sense.
Route 22 is the way we went in the city. Yep.
Yeah, because I actually born in Patterson, grew up in Wayne, New Jersey. So,
nice area. I got my butt kicked playing basketball about 45 minutes north of me in Wayne a few times.
Nice. Well, I hear Jersey, and it's like, as you could probably attest to, there's what we consider New Jersey, and then the people who are actually suburbs of Philly, I always tell them, yeah, we don't acknowledge you that much.
No, South Jersey's not Jersey. North Jersey is Jersey. Absolutely.
Nice.
You guys mind if I bring it back to the west side, which we all know is, in fact, the best side? I'm curious about freshman Malachi Flynn this year. In reading about this team, I saw, you know, a few big-time quotes from Coach Kent. Said he reminds him of Luke Ridenour, that he's more poised than Aaron Brooks when he was a freshman. That obviously means a lot for fans in this area to hear. What can you tell us about him as a player, how much he's meant to the team so far this season?
Huge difference. I mean, different level. You know, you're talking about going from point guards in this program that haven't been this good since, you know, you got to go way back. I hate to start naming names and being hyperbolic like Coach Ken, but I don't know if it is considering how well he's been playing.
Yeah.
You know,
Eugene product Blake Pengelly back in the day. How about him?
I was going Rochester. That's the guy I had. Different kind of player.
Fair enough.
Kind of player. But, you know, I think that Malachi has figured out his spot on the team just in the last five games or so. His best game early on was Utah Valley. He shot 11 of 14. But it's a senior-laden team. There are four seniors that play prominent time on the team, four senior starters, which is rare now in college hoops.
Yeah.
Two of them have been with the program for 4 years, and Malachi is the fifth starter, and he's a true freshman. So I think he was kind of trying to figure out where he fits in. And the offense broke down a couple of times early in the season, and he took it aggressively and scored. And he has become more confident. And what you've got is a guy who is really blossoming into the kind of player Ernie's talked about. I mean, I don't know that I'm totally comfortable saying he's Ridenour or he's Brooks. He's a different kind of player. But the way Ernie's been talking about him, who am I to say otherwise, considering how well he's played in Pac-12 play? He's been sealing games in his first two Pac-12 games.
Matt, it's now year three under Coach Kent. You know, he took over a program that was stumbling a bit, just 9 wins last year. I mean, if you look at that Pac-12 media poll, you almost expected the Cougs not to show up. But you follow this team closely. From your chair, what was reasonable to expect from this team heading into this season?
Well, last year was such a low bar. You know, what happened last year with a 1-17 Pac-12 record is they beat UCLA in the early stages of the Pac-12 season in the second game, and then they didn't win again the rest of the whole year. And what happened really was there were like five or six close games, guys, where none of them went Washington State's way. There was a crazy shot in Boulder that went down. George King hit it, and the Cougs should have won that game. They almost won the Colorado game in Beasley. It's really rare that you lose every close game. It's rare you win every close game. It's rare you lose them all. And last year they happened to lose them all. And I think that in terms of what's reasonable to expect with four seniors on the team and a freshman of this high quality, you know, honestly, I think to a degree the quality of play and the way they've won five of six and four in a row has exceeded expectations. I think, look, you're trying to build up this program. You got a quality point guard and four seniors. You're trying to scoop up a handful or so Pac-12 wins. If you were to win, you know, nine Pac-12 games, if you win half your Pac-12 games, you'd be the turnaround story of the country with a 1-17 record the prior year. And boy, they have been playing some incredible ball the last four games. They really have.
You know, kind of on that note, Ernie Kent told Percy Allen of the Seattle Times, who we actually spoke to a couple days ago, that he wants to change the meaning of the term "cooged it" to represent a team that hunts down teams in the closing moments of games. Sure enough, you know, they came back in the fourth to beat Santa Clara, beat Washington as part of their four-game win streak that you mentioned. First, I'm kind of curious what you thought of that term itself when you took the job, cooged it. And secondly, you kind of getting a sense that the guys are figuring out how to win with that senior-laden team?
Yeah, big time. I prefer the topic of the latter as opposed to the former.
Yeah.
What I felt about the term. You hate that it happened, that anything at the end of a game happened often enough to have to result in a term like that. But
look at Clemson. There was Clemsoning, and now they've turned their fortunes around. So
sure, yeah. I'll take that. That sounds great.
All right.
I think that there over these last five or six games, you know, there was a lot of roster turnover and. Basketball has a lot to do with chemistry. It's such a fluid game. It's hard to turn the roster over that much. It takes a certain amount of reps, a certain amount of minutes to play together. You hear the cliche, the term gelling, you know, but I think there really is something to it. A switch has flipped with this team, and it's not offensively, it's defensively. You're talking about winning games down the stretch. They've locked teams down of late. And down the last, I'm talking 6-7 minutes of game action where you're only allowing one or two makes from the opposition. That's what they've done in this last six-game stretch, discounting the Kansas State game, and Kansas State's a pretty good team. So, yeah, I think they've figured it out big time. The players have a sense of what they want to execute on any given play. If it isn't a half-court set, they looked lost last year comparatively. This is a different ball club than last year. The basketball they're playing over the last four games is of a legitimate high-caliber Pac-12 level. You couldn't say that they did that at all last year. I think the reason they beat UCLA was because Ike Urebu's on-the-ball defense is elite, and he shut down Alford. And they beat UCLA that way in Beasley, but they haven't played this well, and they haven't played this well in years.
We're talking with Matt Chazanow, the voice of the Cougars. Obviously, playing Oregon always will be special for Coach Kent. But from his staff, the team, your observations, what's kind of the buzz? What are they saying about the challenge of playing an Oregon team right now that is really kind of red hot and playing some exceptional ball?
They give the utmost respect to what Dana has done. Ernie is extremely respectful and his understanding of where the Ducks are. He told me Dana took what he did in Eugene and has taken it to another level, and them being a one seed in the dance last year and all that Dana's done. He has poured the praise on, and rightfully so. The Ducks are really good. You know, you're talking about a team that if they go to the Final Four, win a national championship, nobody's going to be surprised. The preseason Pac-12 pick to win the league, and they're excellent, and they've got a pro in Dylan Brooks, and you guys know. I mean, these guys can really play. I saw Ennis play in person at a tournament when he was on Villanova. I thought a ton of his defense. He's got those long arms, and he's a really, really athletic guard, and they're great. I mean, and you hear the word thrown around a lot, but they're great. They really are.
You know, Ernie's entire run at Oregon, he always seemed to be chasing a quality big. I actually remember when I was in high school, I went to the Oregon basketball camp. He got everybody together and told stories about developing big men and their footwork at St. Mary's, how important it was to everything that they do. Never really landed a huge one at Oregon. Now, Josh Hawkinson, leading scorer, rebounder, shot blocker, technically listed as a forward, but he's 6'10". Connor Clifford, 7 foot, averages 10 points this year. Oregon currently boasts the two leaders in shot blocks in their history of the program. How do you think the Cougs' interior guys will stack up tomorrow?
Well, in terms of offense and footwork, Connor Clifford is of some of the best nationally in terms of touch. He's a near 90% free throw shooter. He's 7 feet tall. He's got some of the best footwork in the Pac-12 and some of the best footwork in the country. Sometimes he comes out of games because of the matchup defensively. But in terms of offense, you're talking about a guy, I need to check the updated stats as of this week before tomorrow, but he could be number one in the conference at field goal percentage. He frequently has games where he's 5 of 6, 6 of 7, that type of thing. He plays limited minutes sometimes because defensively he struggles with that swing-type player. He wouldn't be able to guard, you know, if Oregon went real small, he wouldn't guard Boucher. He would never do that. He's a slower, more conventional low-post big. And Hawkinson has some post moves, back-to-the-basket stuff, but he likes that mid-range jumper and he can shoot the three. I think that the shot blocking poses an issue for anybody. You know, I think you're talking about two guys for the Ducks who are so long that they're going to disrupt shots, but I think Connor gets his down low. You're talking about a guy who is working 5 feet and in, and it's tough to stop him when he gets that low position. No one really does. No one has. No one stopped Connor down low. The only reason he comes out of the game is for some defensive liabilities occasionally, especially if the pace of the game gets 94 feet really fast, which is something Ernie likes to do from time to time. I think the shot blocking affects those two guys, but look, Hawkinson gets his. I mean, he had 28-6 against Washington, not a team that's as defensively of the quality of Oregon, but I don't know that that is the issue. I think the guard play, like you mentioned, you started talking about Malachi Flynn.
Yeah,
you need to get offense from that point guard spot, and that's going to maybe be the whole key to the game.
He is the voice of the Washington State Cougars. You can follow on Twitter. The handle is @M_Chaz. We really appreciate the time. Some terrific insight. Enjoy the game. Enjoy your weekend. And, Matt, look forward to catching up again down the road.
All right, guys. Sounds good. Good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right. Take it easy. Matt.